Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Cavs a Podcast. It's been a minute, gentlemen. But the Cavs are up 2-0 on the Miami Heat. And I think we're all pretty... Are you guys happy with the first two games? Or do you feel like more to improve? Are you unhappy? Give me your 15-second takeaway, Chris. First two games.
Yeah, I'm happy. I mean, we're 2-0 up on the Heat, took care of business, you know. Got a little ugly last game.
But, a little sloppy.
You know, yeah, but I mean, that's what Miami was going to do. That, like, Miami was the more desperate team, and we know exactly what they would do. They would junk up the game with their bullshit and survive that again, you know. Split should be expected. Really, split in Miami is expected. But if they are really about their business and they got that championship medal, they'll go ahead and take care of business down in Miami and party down there. Come back and rest up and get ready for the next one.
Eli, how are you feeling?
Overall, I think I'm happy, satisfied, and I'm glad they pulled out the win, last night. I think there are still certain things that they need to figure out, but I don't think this is the series where they're going to be able to really prove themselves and do it. I just think the talent gap is just too big here, and I think they just need to take care of business and win in five and get ready for the next series.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like while there's some things that concern me, like I thought they were pretty sloppy at the end of the game last night. And I don't feel like they are getting the ball to Jared Allen enough. Other than that, I'm pretty satisfied. I do feel like we're kind of treading water with Isaac Okoro, and we may not see as much of him in the next series, but they've been doing enough to win, right? And everything now is just, you know, managing the series, do enough to win, weather the storms that the other team is going to throw at you, and execute your game plan. And they've done that. Part of that, I think, I don't know if you saw today, there's been a lot of talk about there's a concerted effort to basically make Tyler Hero play defense, which has been good. I feel like this has been really the series where a lot of teams have been hunting, not the series, but the first round. Boy, it feels like there's a lot of teams matchup hunting and just going after the weak defenders on the other team. Have you guys noticed the same thing?
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with that 100%. I think teams are optimizing their offenses. They're being smarter than ever before. They're collectively understanding what needs to be done better than ever before.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what's cool about the Cavs and over the past two games is I think the best thing about it has been how it's been Garland that stepped up. then it's been Donovan that stepped up.
Yeah.
So we've got whatever we need for whatever the case, we've got it. You know, so they're responding appropriately to the situation, and we're getting someone to come up clutch when we need it.
Yeah. And the other nice thing to me is they've been containing Bam Adebayo. Like, Bam Adebayo's had some good games, but he's needed a boatload of minutes to do it. They're not letting him score a ton. He's been a rebounder and a facilitator. And outside of Hero, and containing Adebayo, they've done a nice job on everybody. Jovic came in at the end of last night's game and had some solid minutes, but it was kind of a little too little too late. I think you'll probably see more of him in the next game. Feels like a wrinkle they're going to throw. Like, it's crazy. Alec Burks started the first game and didn't even play last night, right? Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, that's nuts. Obviously, Davion Mitchell's been a big factor this series. His defense has definitely helped. But like you said, the Cavs have, or, you know, the talent gap's just too big. Like, it's Hero and Adebayo, and everybody else is just a guy, right? I mean, especially Andrew Wiggins at this point, just a guy. It looked very pedestrian.
They're all just the guys.
Yeah.
Let's be real. They all suck.
Nah, I mean, I'll give Harrow's a good scorer and Adebayo. I would love Adebayo on this, on any team I'm on. I think he's a really solid player.
Bum.
He's bum. Not a bum.
Fraud. Yes.
Yeah. Good night,
Adebayo's great. Adebayo's good, but he's kind of like, it's not like his offense is really what scares people, I feel like. So that's why the Cavs actually match up well against him.
Adebayo is a better...
They're leaving him open at the three-point line and daring him to shoot.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
He's totally 100%. Neutralized
because they're not even guarding him on the perimeter.
Yeah. And what he is at this point in his career... is a saner, more competent Draymond Green. You know, maybe not the defender and maybe not the psycho that Dre is, but yeah.
Yeah, he's softer.
Yeah.
Charmin Draymond Green, okay. I'll sign off on that.
What have you... I've loved what I've seen from Max Strus in the first two games. I thought he's been super solid. Honestly, I feel like his minutes could go up. Thoughts, Eli, Max Strus?
I think Strus has definitely played well. I think there's a reason why DeAndre Hunter's not playing as much as I thought he would be. But I would kind of argue, and we can get into this later, I do think they're playing Merrill and Okoro a touch too much early on. But I definitely agree that Strus is just doing everything they need him to do. He's making enough shots. He's moving the ball. He's taking some pressure off Garland and Mitchell, just bringing up the ball and giving them time to, you know, catch their breath. And he's, like, rebounding and passing. So he's really kind of being the glue guy, the ultimate glue guy for this team right now.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, I think they're approaching this series very similarly to the way they would approach regular season games. Like, they are managing the minutes on this series. They totally expect to win. Miami doesn't scare them at all, and they are managing this series like they're playing for the next one, right? Max Strus? Or Chris, Max Strus?
Yeah, I mean, he's good.
Should he be starting over Hunter?
He is starting over Hunter, isn't he?
Well, that's the question. Should he be? Or should Hunter be starting?
I don't actually think it really matters, to be honest with you. I honestly think it doesn't really matter. I think it's actually matchup dependent. I mean, Strus doesn't have the foot speed or length.
Isn't the ISO scorer. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't the ISO scorer. Isn't as good of a shooter, I'd argue, maybe, theoretically. Although Max has been shooting the shit out of the ball so far in the playoffs, so... But the thing is Max is the dog.
Yeah.
That's what really he's bringing. He's bringing the competitive toughness to the starting group, and which is why he has been starting and should start, is because.
No, I'm with the, you.
Huh?
I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah. He's the oldest guy in the road. Yeah. He's the oldest starter if he starts. You know, he's probably a year older than Donovan. It's either him or Donovan. So.
Yeah, I think. You know. Well, that's a good question. I'm going to look this up.
Haku. Oh, wait, I got it in front of me. Yeah, he's 29.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a year older than Donovan. So he's the oldest guy in the yeah. starting rotation.
He's the adult in the room, if you will.
He is. He really is. Yeah. I mean, because you're starting Darius Garland, 25, Evan Mobley, 23, Jared Allen, 27. I think he just turned 27, too.
Yeah.
So yeah, you got some young guys, and also all three of them collectively, I'd argue they're more of the very cool, calm, and collected personality, not the fiery, in your face, and competitive, ruthless competitor type. So they need his personality more than anything to blend in with the.
Yeah, and that's not the guy that DeAndre Hunter is, right?
Hell no, no. He's another one of those calm, cool, like never face never changes no matter what, you know.
Yeah. Sure. Mobley and Allen, satisfied with everything? I am. Like, I thought Mobley was a little rusty that first game, but last night he was very solid. I would like to see them both rebound better. But they did a good job the first game and a solid job the second game. And the guard rebounding picked up in the second game. So.
Oh, yeah. I thought... everyone rebounded pretty well last night. Especially, well, I guess in the first half. It kind of waned a little in the third and fourth quarter. But even Merrill and Okoro were going back for rebounds, which I was like, you don't see that often. So, you know, that was definitely a big adjustment that was made.
And I don't think anybody can complain about Mitchell and Garland, how well they played. Between the two of them last night, 15 assists, 2 turnovers, 51 points. Like, you'll take that all day on 35 shots. Like, book that.
We have the, that's our advantage over everybody. Ultimately is we've got three ultimate, competent creators, primary creators in Garland, Mitchell, and Ty Jerome.
Yeah, for sure.
So and, who are you going to double off of?
Yeah. And Jerome didn't even have that good of a game last night, but the fact that he can just come in and, you know, drop 25 and 5 assists on any given night is huge. And yeah, I would like to see more out of DeAndre Hunter. I feel like he is coasting a bit too much. I thought Sam Merrill played a really good game last night. Just a nice floor game, 6 points, 4 rebounds, doing the board work, like you said. Dean Wade has been concerning. Like, last night he posted a 1 steal basically in 6 minutes, and Okoro to me has been deferring way too much, not nearly aggressive enough on offense or defense, but I could definitely see those guys getting squeezed out of minutes later in the playoffs. Thoughts, Eli?
I think Wade has been extremely disappointing.
Okoro,
I mean, candidly, I think this is what we expected, foreshadowed, you know, thought would happen, and it's just coming to fruition. I think it was, I think the play that sums it best is his, like, first 3-point attempt. The series was from the corner, and there, I think it was, like, the announcer, I forget his name, but it was like, Okoro from the corner, and then there was a dead silence as it hit off the side of the backboard, and it's like, and the ball is in the other, going down the other way. I mean, he did make 1 3-pointer in game 2, but I just think the Cavs are not going to give the ball to Isaac in a pick and roll. Like, they're not going to use him as a screener and actually give him the ball when it actually matters. So what they're doing with him is just, they're just playing, they're just trying to keep him involved somehow, but they're just not really counting on him, I don't feel like.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I really wish, like, one of the things I really liked with his role, they did a lineup late in the season where it was like him, and this is when Jerome was hurt, and it was like him and Mitchell and Javonte Green and like Mobley and I want to say it was Merrill. And they just was like, everybody was just playing crazy defense. Like, that's the role that I want Isaac Okoro to embrace, is just being that crazy defensive disruptor. But that's not the kind of defense he normally plays. Like, and I want him to play that, but he just doesn't seem to have that aggressiveness to him. And I think that's my biggest disappointment. Yeah, I know how you... Sorry, go ahead.
Like, if there's a football analogy, he's like the cornerback that kind of can try to shut down someone, but he's not.
He's a cover two corner.
Yeah, he's not like an interception machine or anything like that.
He plays cover two corner. He's a zone corner. Chris, I know you want the, what do you call him, the Isaac Okoro make-a-wish minutes?
Oh, yeah. Well,
at least Chris is just drinking heavily while we talk about Isaac Okoro.
At least he's rebounding. So, like, he's rebounding at a 25% better rate than he was during the regular season. So that's a huge step up. So I'll give him kudos for that. But beyond that, I mean, he's just obviously he doesn't belong on the court.
Yeah, he's just eating minutes.
He just doesn't belong on the court. Like, let's be real. Like, it goes to back to your point about you can get away with him against the Miami Heat, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why he's playing. I actually do think there's going to be – I think the problem will be revealed the next game, because Jovic is definitely going to get 30 minutes to 40 minutes possibly. He's young enough to get up those kind of minutes. And they might as well. They have nothing to fucking lose, you know? So give him 40 minutes, see what he can do. He was obviously, to me, the best player on the court for the Heat for the majority of game two. And then so the obvious counter that Kenny has in his bag is Dean Wade. Is he going to actually use it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
He should, but is he going to?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting question. Is DeAndre Hunter going to play defense? Like, I've definitely noticed a regression to the mean at times with DeAndre Hunter and kind of some of the criticism that Atlanta fans leveled at him is that he tends to drift in games and kind of disappear sometimes, especially if the ball's not coming his way. I've definitely seen that.
But that's everybody. I think
absolutely.
Yeah, the issue with him is that he's a perimeter-only player.
Perimeter and ISO, right?
Yeah, perimeter only. He can only play the two or the three. That's it. He's not a four. Cannot play the four, even though we continue playing him at the four. He's not a four. And that's when he looks like he's awful, is whenever he's playing the power forward position.
Yeah, fair. He's the Cavs have done this for years. You know, Chetty Osman, they tried to play him at the four when he's not a four. Right. The Cavs was it Rodney Hood? You know, guys that would be great because at the two and three, but they try and play him up a position and they take away all their advantages and don't add many of their strengths. So I'd love to see. Yeah, I'd strictly like to see him at the two and the three, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, what about an ultra big lineup? What if they came out with a Donovan, Hunter, Strus, Wade, or do double bigs if you wanted?
Oh, absolutely. I think they need to go big line like that more often. But that doesn't seem to be something Kenny Atkinson loves.
No, he was a guard. That's the problem. He was a point guard. He's 6 foot tall. God.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Well, we'll get more into Kenny Atkinson and the guys from this team when we're back after the break.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis, Eli Kim. Gentlemen, Evan Mobley got himself a trophy today. Defensive Player of the Year. Pretty big deal, right? I believe there's a big escalator clause in his contract for that. Is that correct, Eli?
That is correct.
Yeah. So, big deal for him. Nice recognition for the Cavs. Thoughts? Like, I have thoughts. I didn't think he was the defensive player of the year, and I'll just start with that. But what's your take on that, Eli?
I think he was deserving. I think it's kind of funny because he Mobley would not have won this if Wemby was healthy.
Fair.
And, you know, I think you got to win it when you can. So, I mean, to his credit, he won it when he can. And I'm happy because I had a bet on him at the beginning of the year for him to win this award. So I was really, it was looking really
what odds did you get?
It was like, actually it was during the middle of the season, but it was before Wemby got hurt. So it was like plus 800.
So what is that, like 3-1?
No, 8-1. So I bet. Oh, nice. I bet. I won't disclose how much it wasn't that much money, but it was, you know, 8 times any amount.
Hey, it's 8 times more than what you had before.
Exactly. So, but that being said, I did think he was probably more deserving than Draymond Green. And I honestly do think Draymond Green probably had a, he had good momentum until the Warriors didn't make the, you know, they had to be a play-in team. I think that's what kind of sealed his fate of not getting that award.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I don't know if you saw, I think it was New York Times or The Athletic. They did that survey of like something like 100 and some odd NBA players. And on the list for the most overrated, Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler were up near, up in the top 5 for sure. I feel like he's been getting by on reputation for a while, but the advanced stats were kind to Draymond this year for sure. The guy I thought really, to me, was the heart and soul of his team and even a little bit more than Mobley, and honestly, some of the advanced stats still had Jared Allen grading out as a better defensive impact player than Mobley. The guy I thought just had a phenomenal year was Amen Thompson for Houston. I just was unbelievably impressed with him when the Cavs played him. Just probably, to me, one of the hardest guys to score on in the league, either from the perimeter or around the basket. And not that Evan Mobley wasn't very, very deserving. And in some ways, the defensive player of the year is kind of a multi-year award. Like, you have to build that reputation before you get that award. So I'm happy for him. I'm a little worried about what it does to the Cavs cap. But and truth be told, I wanted the Cavs to get shut out just to get that chip on their shoulder. But I do think you get some cachet with the refs when you get the hardware, and you might get a little bit more leeway than you might otherwise when you're defensive player of the year. Chris, would he have been your vote?
No, yeah, easily.
Okay, so no counter to my Amen Thompson comment.
I mean, that's a good one. I'll give you that. The Amen is definitely impressive. Also, the versatility of his game defensively. But also, he has a lot of freaking help. That's the whole design of their team.
Oh, for sure.
They're full of athletic defenders. Think about what Mobley's doing. He's compensating for 2 undersized guards, an undersized 3. An undersized center, honestly. Like, what is Jared Allen? 6'9"?
He's 6'10", 6'11", big wingspan.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not the thickest guy in the league, right?
Yeah, and I'm not buying the 6'11" either.
Okay.
So, I mean, just... That's the whole
7'1"
thing.
With the fro.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's the whole thing, is that the stats are skewed against Mobley because of the context he's in.
That's a fair assessment. He does cover a lot of awards. And I think that's a really good argument for why he got the award, and it's especially because the Cavs had the second best record in the association. So, well argued, I would say.
Case closed. Bam.
It is decided. Kenny Atkinson won the coaches' coach of the year award. That is awarded by the coaches, and I thought that was very telling. I think there was a quote from, I want to say it was Steve Kerr earlier this season, that when the Cavs are on their game, you have to play a perfect game to beat them. And I certainly feel like that's the game the Cavs have played in the first two games of the playoffs. Happy to see him get his recognition. Do you think he has a shot at the official NBA coaches Coach of the Year award, Chris?
No.
Who do you think? No. Mark Danigault?
Him. I mean, take your pick. Ime, and JB, honestly, because I think it's an award sometimes that goes to the just. I think it tends to go to the most surprising in terms of worst to best type deal.
It's usually either that or the team with the best record. Yeah, it's usually one or the other, right?
Yeah.
Like one super dominant team or the other one. And
yeah,
to me, the Thunder, I would not be upset to see, and I always butcher his name, but Mark Danigault win that award because they had one of the most dominant seasons in the league. But
he's a roster merchant.
Oh, I agree. But you have to reward wins. Okay, so here's a question for you. Who's your GM of the year? Eli, who's your GM of the year?
Man.
That's a good question. I have to think about it.
It has to go to Rob Pelinka, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I felt like it would have been great. I think he stole it at midseason, right?
He stole a lot of things midseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Grand larceny.
I mean, yeah, well played, sir. We're all pissed at you.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the best argument of really, right? Is that people are furious he can win the award.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, he basically, like, he committed a trade that would ruin a fantasy league, but he did it in the NBA.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I think you're right, Eli. What do you think of Coach of the Year? Do you think Kenny has a shot?
I think he has a shot but I don't think voters are very consistent with their logic. I mean, when JB didn't win it 2 years ago for the big improvement, the big argument was, hey, he got Donovan Mitchell. The Cavs already were in the play-in, so moving up to be a four seed is not a huge accomplishment because the team, it's easier to go from, like, average to good, but it's really hard to go from good to great. So the argument for Kenny would be the Cavs went from good to great, but they're not going to – I don't think they're going to get that benefit this year, and I actually think JB is going to win the award, ironically, for making the Detroit Pistons decent after being terrible.
Yeah. Well, and I actually think that their GM did a really nice job this year just putting pieces around Cade. You know, the Schroeder pickup was solid. They, Tim Hardaway Jr. was a player they needed. Like, those are guys that can get you from, bad to good, but not good to great, right? So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the offseason. And one of the things that's going to happen in the offseason is that Ty Jerome is going to be a free agent. And if he keeps playing like he's played in the first two games of the playoffs, do you see... So the Cavs, I think Fear the Sword, Jackson Flickinger had an article earlier this week that basically said the Cavs can offer $14.3 million a year. The NBA non-taxpayer mid-level is going to be $14.1 million a year. So if your options are one of those two things and you can sign with the Cavs and keep your bird rights, that's probably what Ty Jerome would do if they offer him that contract. But there's a couple teams that have the ability to go into cap and offer him a much bigger contract. And I think those teams are probably Brooklyn and Detroit. Do you see him going to either of those teams, Chris?
I mean, he should be if they're smart enough, right? Like, he obviously, I mean, Orlando's another place. Like, somehow they, I know they're a capped out team, but they should be moving heaven and earth, given their guard situation, you know? And, yeah, I mean, like, he's deserving of starting. He's a starting guard. He's a good starting guard for a good team. So, you know, that's what it'll take for him to leave, too. You know, like, why would he leave unless the money was actually there and the security was actually there? He's not going to leave unless somebody's offering big-time bucks and the kind of life-changing security that the NBA offers for a guy that of his talents.
Absolutely. I think when there's only a few teams, it's going to be... I don't think he's at the top of everybody's list. And there's guys that... There's dominoes that have to fall before they get to Ty Jerome. And I think the money isn't going to be there by the time they do get to Ty Jerome. Like, Eli, what are your thoughts? Who are the other big-name free agents in this offseason? There's not a lot of them, but there's not a lot of teams with cap space either.
Yeah, I don't think there's really any other competitive free agents, but I also think that teams are, you know, so analytically driven that they won't see the value of adding kind of a 28-year-old non-proven starter and pay him, you know, 14 million plus, you know, to take a swing like that.
Oh, I think he's got to. I think you've got to give him at least 18 million to get him to move and waive his bird rights. Like
my deal that I said in a chat was 4 100. That's what's going to take for him to leave.
That was something close to that. Yeah.
He should 100% take that if he gets that. Like,
oh, yeah, I exactly. agree with you.
Exactly.
Yes. I don't think anybody on the Cavs or any of the fans of the Cavs would begrudge him that. He's never had a big contract in the NBA.
Well, and you never know how long that ankle's going to last. He had that weirdo surgery on it. So I wonder if it's a ticking time bomb, to be honest with you.
Well, on top of that, he's literally made either the minimum or $1 over the minimum, which is how the Cavs stole him from the Warriors, because Warriors were unable to go above the minimum to sign
It's hilarious. I mean, here's some of the other free agents that are going to be available this year. James Harden expected to opt out. Obviously, LeBron, that's not going to happen. Miles Turner is probably going to be one of the bigger names. Caris LeVert is another name. I could definitely see if somebody lures Ty Jerome away, the Cavs pivoting back to Caris on the mid-level.
Bring him home.
Bring him home. I thought he played great for Atlanta in the play-ins.
He did. I think also, you know what's curious? I think they may have changed his shot for the better over there in Atlanta.
I would love it. Yeah.
I think they did. I'm very curious. I want to go back to the tape, but I could have sworn I seen something a little different from him.
Yeah.
And it looked good.
For sure. For sure. Who do you think he would go to if he left the Cavs? What'd you say? Orlando, Detroit, and...
Brooklyn.
Yeah. See, to me, he's not a big enough name for Brooklyn, but I don't know. And I also think there's some teams that are kind of keeping their powder dry for the year after.
Well, no, a lot of teams are now what's cooking is Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis. Exactly.
And there's a rumor, I guess there's a substantiated rumor about his choice being Brooklyn.
Yeah, so I could 100% see that.
When I could see Ty going to Brooklyn if Giannis is part of that, like in a multi-stage move, you know, to put reinforcements towards a star, you know,
yeah.
and get a good guy, you know, that way. So that in that sense, I think Brooklyn is a threat.
I would agree with you. And then there's also obviously Kevin Durant. The rumor is him going to the Knicks.
Nah, Wolves.
Really?
He's best friends with AD, Anthony Edwards.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
That's his
idea. That would be a weird... That would definitely be an odd move. I hadn't heard that.
Well, what's clear is KD wants out of Phoenix.
So oh, yeah.
No one knows where he's going to end up.
Yeah, and it's definitely a weird, like, there's a huge drop-off. Like, you got LeBron at the top. I think everybody expects him to re-sign. Kyrie, his problem is he tore his ACL. Then you got Harden, who's obviously going to probably opt out and try and get one more payday. Miles Turner. And then it's just the drop-off is just huge. You got Julius Randle, Kuminga, Fred VanVleet, Naz Reid, like, all those... Those guys are great, and then it's not great at all. Like, how Ty Jerome isn't much higher on this list is kind of beyond me. I'm glad he's not. You know, I'm looking at the Hoops Hype list right now, and he's 16th on the rankings, but it's the season he's had, I feel like somebody would be dumb not to take a roll of the dice, but I don't know. What are the odds he's on the Cavs roster next year, Eli?
Jerome, I think it's like 60%, I would say, right now.
Okay. Chris?
And I guess one tidbit to backtrack a little bit. I actually do like his fit on the Magic a lot, just because I feel like they're lacking some playmaking and shooting.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's not like I feel like Orlando, they just want to play big. So, like, he actually would fit them pretty well. And I think he would slot well next to Suggs. I don't know. That's just me. Like, obviously, I would not wish that because I think that makes Orlando much better.
Yeah, it does.
I think that fit is pretty good out of those teams with the space.
Yeah, and I to me, Brooklyn is not a team. Brooklyn is not one player away. They're 2, 3, 4 players away. I'm at about, I think 60% is a good number. Like, what about you, Chris?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I'd say I could go even higher. I think it's more like 70. I'm convinced he's back. I don't think there's, when you really distill it down to the numbers, like, I think from what I've seen, it, like I said, I referenced this before we went live or whatever, but like hearing the way other fans talk and hearing the chatter around from other fans of other teams, especially Brooklyn fans and Orlando fans, and people just don't value Ty Jerome. They think they could get him on a steal, which is ridiculous. If that's the case, if that's how he's seen, then he's not leaving. He's only leaving, as we said, for a payday, payday.
And yeah,
and
why would
Cavs Dan will give him that payday if he plays ball?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing that we would all love, at least from a cab management standpoint, is that Okoro contract just looks not good right now. It looks terrible. Like, he's just the amount of luxury tax they're going to have to pay to have that $10 million Okoro contract on the roster when he's like the ninth guy at best. Is not good. We'll get into that a little bit more when we come back, but we do need to take a quick break. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Eli Kim and with Chris Francis.
Wait, is Eli back? Did we verify he's back?
Yeah, I'm back.
I knew he was back.
You did? How did you know?
I didn't. He said something when he came on. You were too busy bloviating.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that's what I do best.
Preach. No, I mean, we did miss out on a treat last night. We were going to pod last night with Eli driving for an hour, and I really would have enjoyed just...
Road Eli is different from home Eli.
Yeah, that's what I feel. Exactly. Eli is a good shooter at home, but he's amazing on the road.
he's a playoff riser.
Exactly. He's like he's the Korean Channing Frye. Anyway, so the other name that I wanted to throw out there from pending free agents, I think we all agreed the guy probably more likely to not be on the Cavs roster next year, which is sad to say because they can only keep so many guys. Sam Merrill is probably due for a pay raise. And I got to think somebody's going to get him at least the mini mid-level or like half their mid-level, somewhere around there. Would you guys agree?
Yeah. I also think the Cavs playing him this much provides like a story for a scout to be like, oh my gosh, if the Cavs are doing this, they think he's so good and he provides these skills. So I do think he would kind of, he's playing well enough to outprice what the Cavs can probably, you know, stomach.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And I'd say the other side of that is that he's also a guy that they want to see him get paid, right? Like, he's been a good soldier. It's kind of the Max Strus Miami situation, right? I could maybe even see, excuse me, some kind of sign and trade, but that's going to be difficult with where the Cavs are in the apron. So we'll see what happens. The other thing is that Cavs Dan could just decide, hey, I'm just going to pay all this luxury tax and be damned. But I don't think that'll happen. Just a guess. Chris?
Well, he should, honestly, because Sam's worth it. That's
well,
the thing.
Oh, I agree with you.
The conundrum is, as you said before, is that which contracts do you actually want to keep when it comes down at the end of the day? And to me, the question is, so, you know, obviously I'd take Sam Merrill 10 times out of 10 over Okoro.
Oh, agreed.
It's not even a question.
And I think you'd keep Jalen Tyson as well.
Yes, of course. Of course. And here's the thing is that, so then what it comes down to is then, do you keep guys like, so in Ty Jerome, I'd keep Ty Jerome 10 times out of 10 over Okoro, right? So then what it comes down to is, do you keep guys like, so Okoro, obviously, do you keep Dean Wade? Do you keep Max Strus? Those are the question marks in my mind as far as the decisions that have to be made, as far as allocating resources. I don't know what you guys think.
I think Max Strus is probably a no-brainer, given everything you said earlier in the podcast. I think Dean Wade is, I don't know how much value
also
there is.
Also another name, DeAndre Hunter. We should throw him into this, in given his salary.
Agreed, but I don't know how much of a market there is for DeAndre Hunter. Like, they're in the same, the Cavs are in the same boat Atlanta was. What are they going to get, 3 seconds? Like, is that worth moving off DeAndre Hunter? The question really is how much luxury tax is Dan going to be willing to pay? Like, so I'll give
Without
you some names.
Eli, what makes sense of this?
Eli, the assets manager.
Exactly. Yeah.
Way in here.
Yes. What's our portfolio looking like?
I just don't think we can do it. Honestly, think
for who?
I
mean,
of course, you'd say that. God, you number guys are all the same.
Why do you set him up when you know the answer? Come on, just to bust his chops.
He fell into my trap.
Yeah, I just think, you know, you got to realize the money we're paying to these guys, I would almost view it as like whatever the contract is, we're paying triple that. And I just think, for Jerome, I think it makes more sense because he brings more than, you know, one great skill. I think Merrill just brings elite shooting and spacing, but I think, you know, Jerome is a good plus shooter and also handles the ball and can create his own shot.
And gets a lot of steals.
Yeah, and
well, that's,
you know,
a big deal.
That swagger, and it's a big deal. So that's why it's so tough, because obviously you'd like to keep everyone, but you just have to, with the second apron, it's just tough to navigate that. And maybe Dan Gilbert is willing to write the check and can do it, but it's not my money. I would bring him back. I mean, if I was
Dan Gilbert, oh my God, you're such a liar. We all know if it was your money, he'd be in Utah now.
Oh, 100%. If it was my money, I'd probably not sign Jerome either, personally. But thankfully, I'm not an NBA owner that's cheap like that.
Yeah. The only time Eli will open his wallet is for the Ben Simmons train.
Exactly. Choo choo.
So okay, I'm gonna throw out some guys. You give me a percentage of how confident you are they're gonna be on the roster next year. Sam Merrill. We'll start there. I'm going to say 20%. Chris?
I'm saying 100%.
He's going to be back.
Yeah.
Okay, Eli.
This is the reason why. This is the reason why. He's boys with Donovan. Donovan, pull the card, bro.
Nice. Eli?
I'm going to say 30%.
I went 20. Okay, DeAndre Hunter.
It should be really be zero, actually. It should be absolutely zero.
DeAndre Hunter. Eli.
90%.
Chris?
Yeah, 100%. Because it's too soon, right? And also, we're keeping Jerome in this theory. This hypothetical. I mean, we all agreed that Jerome is more likely to stay than not. So if Jerome's staying, Hunter is staying, because obviously that was a package deal.
Okay. Right, because of the Virginia connection.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly why I think we have a good chance of re-signing Ty and Sam, for that matter. I think one of the things that is kind of like, it gets talked about a lot, especially because we're close and we follow the team, but is really underappreciated, is the chemistry angle. They brought in guys that all love each other genuinely, like his life.
Yeah, and all get along, and there's not a lot of drama in the locker room.
Exactly. It's just guys who all click together, you know, and just blend together really nicely, and just about the right things in life, you know. So so don't discount that. And when these guys make their decisions, that it's not based on money.
Nice. Okay, Dean Wade, Eli.
I want to say 40%.
That he's back.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that they see if they can find value or, you know, offload that for a contract. I mean, it's not a bad deal, but...
Yeah, but just given the luxury tax implications, like any significant savings is not chump change.
Exactly.
Yeah. Plus, I would say, given the guys they have in their pipeline, like, you know, Tomlin and Amone Bates and
Tyson.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it may be time to move on. I don't think there's anybody else like that's worth talking about on that front. But one thing I did want to talk about with Ty Jerome a little bit more is I think we can all agree that the biggest travesty in the NBA in the last week is Peyton Pritchard, Sixth Man of the Year. Just a ridiculous, ridiculous award. I hate that guy. And I feel like Boston sports always get overrepped because ESPN is right there. And Peyton Pritchard, like, every single stat almost, like, 8 out of the 10 stats on a per-minute basis, Ty Jerome is better. It boggles my mind that a guy like Peyton Pritchard got that award. Chris, back me up here.
Boston racism never died.
Nice. Yeah, I'm with you. It's alive and well.
Peyton Pritchard.
East Coast bias. Yeah,
and mediocre white boy bias getting fluffed up by the media, by the Boston media mafia, the Boston media mafia.
There you go.
They love celebrating white mediocrity.
Nice. Eli, Who should have been Sixth Man of the Year?
Ty Jerome. I think he should have.
Yeah, I mean,
but I think it's kind of weird because he was like not eligible for Most Improved because he didn't play 20 minutes in enough games. I think that's like a stupid rule too.
That's a super dumb rule. I didn't even know about that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so you have to play in 65 games and also play in more than 20 minutes in those games, or it doesn't count as one of those.
As an average? Games. An average? Yeah.
No, it's not an average, so it's like you literally have to play over 20 minutes.
That's a terrible rule. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. Wow, okay.
So that's why that's why the Cavs social media team intelligently was not like pushing for that because he literally wasn't eligible.
Yeah, and it's interesting because DeAndre Hunter kind of before late in the season was on that short list and he got votes. He was like fourth or fifth, but I do feel like going to the Cavs hurt his per minute production because their bench units had Ty Jerome, right?
Yeah. For sure.
But I don't know if he'd have gotten that award on a stinky Atlanta team. So anyway, I just wanted to, complain about Peyton Pritchard for a minute in the Boston media mafia, as Chris so eloquently put it. Anything else that you guys want to hit on the Cavs? Four games or five? Eli.
I think it's going to go five. I just don't have a good feeling about the Cavs on weekend matinee games.
In Miami?
In Miami. And they're all celebrating Evan Mobley's Defensive Player of the Year right now, probably.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm kind of thinking Saturday might be...
I do like that they have the extra day. I think that helps. It's a Saturday afternoon game, though.
Yep, 12:30.
Yeah, and they don't do well in afternoon games. But I feel like this is their opportunity to buck the trend. I feel like the move is going to be they're going to win. Well, let's be honest. Like, nobody's showing up to that game until 1:15 anyway. So, like, the Cavs with the shitty Miami fans have a good opportunity to get out to a big lead. Because nobody's going to show up until like a half hour after the game starts. The total move is for them to win this game and then lose game four. Right? That's the move I could see. But the other thing that happens is the Cavs, there's always one or two games a year where the Cavs get absolutely jobbed by the refs in Miami. And there were certainly some moments last night where the Cavs got jobbed by the refs, but they did win the free throw battle. Chris, four or five games?
Four.
Nice. I'm going to go four as well. I think the Cavs get pissed off enough to win this. And I think if they win, I feel like Miami, they know they're outclassed. At a certain point, they're just going to want to go fishing. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't respect Miami. I think they're all losers. Cavs in four.
Nice. Okay. I'm just going to run through some of the other playoff series. And you guys can give me your opinions on who wins and in how many games. So the next one I want to go to is the Knicks just won. Took the series lead back 2-1. Took home field advantage back. Who wins that series, Chris?
Knicks, sadly.
Knicks in seven?
Probably earlier than that. Probably
five? Okay. Eli?
I'll go Knicks in six.
I'm going to go Knicks in seven. I don't...
God, I hope you guys are right.
I'm going to go Knicks in seven.
I really hope you guys are right. That'd be sweet. I really want to pick Detroit, honestly, but I have no faith in
JB,
our boy.
Yeah. No, I mean, he almost choked away that first game that they won. So, or he did choke away the first game. Sorry, he did choke away the first game, and then the Knicks have won the last two, correct? Or, no, Detroit won the second game, but Pistons, yeah, choked the first game when they had a big lead. Okay, Celtics Magic, Boston up 2-0. What's that? I'm going to go Celtics in five. Chris?
Sure.
You don't care at all, do you?
No, although I do think, so the rumor is Tatum really might have fractured his wrist.
Ooh, nice. Well.
Yeah, apparently he's going to miss this next game too, so.
Interesting.
He might be done.
I don't think so. I think we'd have heard about it, but who knows. Eli, what do you think? Magic Celtics.
Magic lose in five.
Yeah, that's my take as well. Here's a question for you guys. Are the Bucks done?
Of course they are. what question is that?
Are they done in the series? Are they done as a team? Like,
yeah, what? Giannis is gone.
You think?
Although they did just re-sign Horst, which is puzzling. So that actually is evidence against what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but this is the Haslams we're talking about.
Yeah, so I think the reason why the Bucks look awful is because they've already quit because they already know Giannis is gone.
Interesting. I'm going to go... Pacers in seven. I think the Bucks make a series out of it, but that the Pacers win on their home floor. But the other side of that is he was the best player in the league at the end of the regular. Well, I mean, other than Jokic, he was definitely the best player in the East the last month of the season. Right. I honestly think Dame coming back might've hurt him a little because it totally screwed up their identity of what they built in the last month. And now they've kind of got to figure it out again. Right. And he can't guard anybody. I don't know. What's your take on that series, Eli?
I think the Bucks are cooked. I think they're rushing Dame back and it's making it actually worse for them.
Yeah.
And I just think that. So I also think Indiana is better than people think. I know that last year it was kind of fluky that they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but
yeah, but didn't they make the they made it to the play-in or the in-season tournament finals last year?
Yeah, but and also I just think that core has they quietly have continuity and a great coach. So
fair, and they have really good role players.
Yeah, Nembhard is great. It's amazing to see that. So yeah, I think Indiana's probably better than what we give them credit for, and I think the Bucks are just, they're just too much pressure on them to perform, and they're old and breaking down.
I do want to see that series go seven for the Cavs' sake, right? I think that would be very helpful to see both those teams wear each other out. Moving over to the West, which there are some fantastic series is out West. I haven't checked the score in the Grizz Thunder, but I'm assuming
Memphis is up 27.
Memphis is up.
Yeah, and nice. Ja just got taken out by Dirty Lou Dort.
Oh, who geez.
Again is taking people out because he's a menace to society.
Did not know that. Well, that changes things. How hurt is Dort? Or how hurt is Morant? Is it look so bad?
They let him take the free throws, and then he just went to the locker room.
Interesting.
Just now. It okay. Literally just happened. And Grizzlies have been on a 20-3 run at the end, moving into the end of halftime.
Interesting.
Going into halftime.
Well, it sounds like that might... it sounds like it'll probably go five games at least. I'm gonna say Thunder in five. Eli?
Yeah, I think Thunder in five.
Chris?
Grizzlies in six.
Wow. Spicy, spicy hot take. Is that your head or your heart?
Both.
You think the Thunder are front running frauds?
Of course. Of course. They have the same exact weakness as the Cavs.
Which is?
Rebounding.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah, it's a fair point. Okay. Rockets, Warriors. Did Dre, by shoving Amen Thompson into Jimmy Butler and contusing his pelvis, just tank another playoff series for the Warriors? Chris?
Yes. Yes, and it's lovely. I love it.
Jimmy
hurting his bussy. His poor little bussy.
Yeah, and Houston's no joke. Like, Houston, that is one of the nastiest teams to play in the NBA. They're one of the few teams that I'm not sure the Cavs could beat in a finals. Because they match up really well with them, and B, they're just mean. Eli, what's your take on that? I'm gonna go Warriors or Rockets in five. Eli, what's your take?
I want to go Rockets in seven. I do think, I don't know, I kind of almost want to pick the Warriors, but I just do think Jimmy Butler is probably actually pretty hurt, and I just think the energy level that Houston played with last night, I think they're capable of doing that just because how young they are and how, spry they are. So I think it's interesting because the Warriors are really trying to muck it up, and I actually think that plays in Houston's favor, as both games have been really gritty. So I think Houston gets it done, but I do think the heart of a champion in Steph and Draymond kind of push it to the brink.
Interesting. Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, I was just kind of hating before about GSW, but, I agree about the heart of the championship, for sure. If Houston's going to do it, they got to take it. It's not going to fall into their lap. So whether I think they have the mentality right now to get it done, which is kind of surprising because obviously you would assume the younger team, but they've got some savvy veterans there. They mix their young core with some veteran presences like Van Vliet's won a title. Brooks has played in big games.
Van Vliet's been the second best player on a title team, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, close with, too. Yeah, at
least. With Toronto, you don't think he was the second best player on that team? Maybe Siakam.
Kawhi Siakam, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's two.
Or even Lowry was better than.
No, not that year.
Well, I don't know.
Lowry was definitely on the downward trend there. Anyway.
But
the other side of that coin is the Warriors did get the split on the Rockets home court. So they have home field now, and they're very hard to beat in Golden State, especially with the NBA they desperately want the Warriors to make the next round. So
the NBA wants Warriors Lakers. So,
oh, absolutely. They do. Yeah. That brings us to our next series, which is, I don't know how much of that series you've watched, but that is a weird series. Both teams are so flawed in some ways and so good in some other ways, and it's really, really weird. But the other side of that is, boy, Anthony Edwards looked like the best player in that series last night, and that's impressive for a series where Luka and LeBron are on the floor. Like, Where do you have that series going, Eli?
It's definitely going to be the Lakers. There's no way the league will let them lose here. I want to go Lakers in six. I think Luka and LeBron will somehow find a way.
But Chris?
Yeah, I mean, sure. No, I mean, actually, I'm going mini still because of rebounding. It's a bad matchup for the Lakers. I also am buying into the downfall of LeBron now. He's done. He's cooked. It's over.
Really?
It's
because
really
I over. Saw him do a chase down the other night. Like he's
really over. No,
looked fine to me
in the aggregate. Yeah, no, he's
done. In the aggregate. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, he's done.
Well, now I got to go look at box scores.
It's Luka carrying already.
Oh, I agreed there, but do you think he's a Laker next year?
Yeah, of course. I think he's going to opt in.
Oh, interesting. Opt in and extend?
No, I think opt in and then retire.
Oh, really? Next year will be his last year?
Next year is probably his last year. I actually, that's what I think. Yep.
Interesting.
Let everybody know it's a retirement year.
Oh, he's going to go on the Kareem retirement tour.
Yeah, of course. Got to.
Well, that's good for the bottom line. And then what is probably the best series, although the Clippers are up 14 on Denver right now, and we were talking in the break, right now the two best players on the planet are playing in the Nuggets-Clippers series. Like, peak Kawhi is back. The Claw is back. Like you said in the break and Charles Barkley said the other night, like the guy can miss seasons at a time and he comes back and he's 100% of what he was. Like he just is one of the best two-way players in NBA history and just can kill you on offense and defense. And then you've got also another guy who's one of the best players and two-way players in NBA history, mainly because he understands the sets his opponents are running better than they do in the Joker. Those two guys are squaring off each other against each other. I think that series is going seven. I think it's going to be a phenomenal series, the best series in the first round. I'm going to say Clippers in seven just because I think there's too much turmoil on the Nuggets. Chris, what's your thought on that series?
Clippers, easily. Whatever the minimum is from this point. Clippers are obviously the better team. Denver's just hanging on by a thread. It's all Jokic keeping them hanging on by a fingernail. It's all a house of cards. Collapsing now.
Okay. I'm not laughing at you just because I've heard you use the analogy House of Cards before. So, Chris or Eli, sorry.
Man, I think I'll be honest. Kawhi Leonard looks like he's back. So, and I just think the Nuggets vibes are in shambles after, the weird way to end the season with the front office and coaching stuff. So I think
Jokic is a Laker.
That would be interesting.
That would be great. But I do think Clippers pull it out. Better coach. Kawhi looks healthy. And I think they get it done. I'm going Clippers in six.
Nice. Okay, who's your finals pick? I won't take you through all the other series, but who's your finals pick? Eli.
I'll go. I know this is a Cavs podcast, but.
It's fine. Pick whoever you want.
I still traitor. Think it's Boston. I still think it's Boston.
Traitor!
I think it's Boston OKC. I'm an OKC believer. I'll be honest. I think their game translated. They can win in a lot of different ways. The part that scares me is their ball handling is really dependent on Shea and maybe a little bit of Jalen Williams, but I think those guys have matured and grown from last year, and I think their game, they were the best team in that association, and I think they'll make it. That's my opinion. I know it's boring, but that's my take.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, it's the NBA's worst nightmare. The Thunder making the finals. Chris, what's your and then the Thunder win it all, Eli? Is that what you're saying? Thunder over the Celtics?
Yes, yeah, I do.
Okay, Chris?
Yeah, I'm sticking with my prediction. It's the Cavs.
Cavs over.
It's going to be the Lakers.
Really? Interesting.
It's going to be Adam Silver's wet dream. LeBron coming home. Trying to take a title from his old team.
Nice. I like the storyline. I don't think the Lakers have the juice to get there. And I think that the second round matchup of whoever wins that, the Lakers, Timberwolves, and the Rockets, Warriors, I think that second round matchup will just exhaust who's ever in there, and they'll lose in the finals. And I'm going to go Clippers. I'm going to do Cavs over the Clippers in the finals. There you go.
That's what Eli, we saw that game, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. That was the one they won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they lost the one in L.A. Mm-hmm. It was a good game. Okay, guys, anything to pitch before we wrap this one up? As Eli's frantically typing away there.
Sorry, I'm multitasking tonight.
Oh, you're fine.
I do have something to pitch, and it is analytics. The Browns. We're recording this as the Browns are... the NFL draft is going on. I know it's not popular because a lot of Cleveland fans wanted Travis Hunter, which ironically I talked to when I watched the game last night. My buddy, his kid, who's 4, his favorite player is DeAndre Hunter. And he's a big Cleveland sports fan. And he was like, oh, I'm so excited to also get a Travis Hunter Browns jersey, number 12, just like DeAndre Hunter. So I'm throwing a shout out to that little kid.
Did the Browns draft tonight?
They actually traded down and did not select that guy. So,
Jesus.
So I'm throwing a shout out to my buddy's kid Noah because he's probably devastated if he's allowed to stay up for that. So
wow, way to pull the rug, Haslams. Classic Cleveland. Classic Browns, rather. Chris, what do you got to pitch?
I'm gonna pitch enjoying art in green spaces.
Nice.
It's an event. It's an organization led by a lady by the name of Gloria Buxton, living in the city of Lorain, Ohio, our beautiful city of Lorain, Ohio, just west of the city of Cleveland. And she organizes people to do art in the park right on the lakefront. And, you know, when people do art and be creative, you know, it's a fun thing. So
nice.
I was told June 26. So mark your calendars. June 26 at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Nice. Well,
there you go.
In the vein of the chance of we're number 2 for Cleveland, I'm going to pitch the social media. I think it's on Blue Sky, maybe on Twitter, account of the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, which, if you don't follow it, is one of the best social media follows on the internet. I know it's hard to believe, but whoever runs that does a fantastic job. And they've been just skeeting all week about how, if anybody knows number 2, it's the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, about the Browns pick. And I know they're probably heartbroken that they traded down out of number 2. That's a fun follow. And then I'm also, did I talk to you guys since I came back from, Savannah?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pitch the city of Savannah, which is, actually went down there for spring break and then went to Tybee Island, which is about half hour from Savannah, is the beach side. Near Savannah, and fantastic area. It's kind of like a 1950s beach town. Not a lot of chains. A lot of like kind of mom and pop hotels and independent hotel chains. And it's a cool little kind of kitschy area. Fun town. And then Savannah is just an amazing historical city, one of the oldest cities in America. I'm wearing a cool Ghost and Gravestones Savannah tour. We went and did a spooky tour, which was pretty awesome. A lot of history, a lot of, you know, literally almost 400-year-old cemeteries and stuff like that. So it's a really cool city to visit, especially if you like history of, you know, Civil and Revolutionary War and the history of America, really. And then just great food, great foodie city as well. So really cool city. Visit Savannah if you get the chance. And that's what I have to pitch this week.
I've been to Savannah. My buddy got married there 2 years ago.
Nice.
Cute little town.
Definitely, it is.
Definitely a growing town for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, all the old buildings and everything, super cool, right?
Oh, yeah. And fun fact, I think Savannah is like the fifth or sixth largest international port in the world right now.
Yeah. I think it's the biggest in America in terms of tonnage. Yeah, I mean, you should see...
It's ginormous.
Yeah, you should see the container ships just steaming down, like, just fully loaded, steaming down the river there. It's crazy how big they are. Like, it just... You can't even fathom it. Just... I mean, you got to think, each one of those containers fits on the back of a semi-truck, and there's probably 300 on a ship, right? It's just nuts. Anyway... So Cavs play again Saturday and then Monday if necessary. Is that correct? It will be necessary, but
yeah. I wonder what's going on with Kevin Love. It's not been shared yet. They say it's like personal reasons,
so family issues.
Yeah, but I
hope his family.
Well, the rumor is just that it was tied to the Jimmy Butler shit. He was on board with it, so now he's ostracized.
Really?
That cannot be true.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is true because he did the Instagram post. Remember?
So you think they sent his ass home?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was on the team after that. You just think he's gone for the playoffs. He's persona non grata.
Yeah, just gone for good.
Well, they still owe him $5 million next year.
Well, yeah, but I think something's happening in the offseason.
I don't buy that story at all.
Would you bring him home?
Absolutely.
Well, JB's gone, so.
Exactly. We got rid of the problem.
I want to sign Danny Green back one more time. Just reevaluate.
Let's go.
Just to piss Kevin Love off. Nice. No, I don't buy that story, but stranger things have happened, I guess. I certainly think they wouldn't be calling it family reasons if it was really I don't know what they'd do. It's interesting. Yeah, that is a weird one. So
come home, Kev.
Yeah, that would be fun. I would enjoy one more season of Kevin Love. So and bring Caris LeVert with you. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Can we swing a Caris LeVert Isaac Okoro trade in the offseason?
There we go. Now we
go. Oh, that's a good one.
Tank Commander Isaac.
I think we'd have to take Niang back, though. They'd probably also want to send
I would take him back. Let's go.
Yeah, like Niang would be fine as a ninth or tenth man. He's not as a sixth or seventh man, right? I don't know. I want to take that temptation away from him, though. He was so much better in Atlanta than he was here, but I think that's just because the stakes are lower, right?
Definitely.
Or is it just the way they're using
him?
Let him start some games and made him really happy.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, he had to sop up some usage down there.
Well, that's true. Do you think Trey is a Hawk next year?
No.
You think they're going to dump him? Like, how many picks do they have to attach to get rid of Trey?
They won't have to do that.
Interesting.
I think he will be a Hawk. I think they have to whether hook or crook, they got to just live with it and go with it.
I could see a really bizarre. What about a Trae Young for Zion Williamson trade?
Never.
So crazy, it just might work.
No, never happening.
You never.
Trae Young's a Spur. It's already been decided.
Trae is going to be a Spur. How can they afford him and, who did they trade for?
De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, how can they afford him and Fox?
Oh, I forgot about that. That was before Fox.
Anyway, okay. Go Cavs.
Yeah, there you go.
Podcast just got long in the tooth. Go Cavs. I cut you off. Say it again.
Go Cavs.
Eli, we're all waiting on you.
Go Cavs.
Okay, bonus content. We got to hear the story of Chris and Eli going to the Cavs game.
Yeah, so it's funny. I was going to go, and Chris and I talked, but he said he was like a little busy, might not make it on time. It was a Sunday afternoon game in Cleveland.
Clippers.
Against the Clippers, and it was, you know, the Cavs were actually like struggling, so I was a little worried they're going to lose because they suck at weekend afternoon games.
Yes, they do.
But literally like 10 minutes before tip, even though Chris was like, I probably can't make it, I just give him a buzz and I'm like, hey, really random, how long will it take you to get to the game? I'll literally buy a pair of tickets and I'll send it to you, and you know, I'll send you your seat and we can sit together. And he's like, oh, I'm down. I live like 10 minutes away. So I get there a little earlier. He comes in. You know, he's wearing the jersey that you got us, Nate, which we really appreciate. And Chris is a joy to watch a game with. Just heads up, if any of you guys have the opportunity,
How? Please tell us how.
Oh, I mean, Chris was so good that people at the end of the game were coming up to him and be like, "Dude, you're hilarious. You're awesome."
Just and cracking then, jokes or like, oh, what?
Just yelling at refs, calling calling people soft, and it was good. And I think we sat close enough. I think they definitely heard Chris for sure. But
hey, I once told LeBron James to bend his knees, and he made the next free throw. So
I will say the interesting part was we were actually sitting behind Javonte Green's family, and they turned around and told us is because when Javonte checked in for Okoro, Chris was enthralled and he's like, yeah. And then his wife turned around and was like, yeah, for sure. And, you know, she talked to us for a little bit. She said Javonte actually goes by Wu is his last, like, is his like nickname. He doesn't go, like, people don't call him Javonte. Yeah,
the people who love him and they're close to him call him Wu.
Nice. Okay.
And, yeah, it was cool, you know. And then at the end, you know, Chris, all class, you know, told his wife, like, hey, I appreciate him picking here, and she seemed very like genuinely, you know, happy and touched by Chris's kind words. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it was cool. I mean, it was cool to, you know, be, you know, sit in the section with a lot of the player section. That's where we ended up sitting. Nice. By fans. So, like, we sat next to, like, I think it was, like, I pointed out Max Strus's, I think it's his sister or his cousin that was, like, in the row next to us.
Yeah.
Was, like, you know, we had a guy with a Altman last name sitting behind us with, like, a badge. So I figured he's probably related to Kobe some manner. So
A-L-T, not A-U-L-T?
Yes.
Because A-U-L-T is, like, Stark County Health, so...
But yeah, I mean, I did a lot of talking, but Chris can share kind of his experience from his opinion
perspective. Oh yeah, no, you told it beautifully. You're a beautiful narrator.
I was drunk on his words.
Yeah, exactly. That was fantastic. I think it was just absolutely. I just want to shout out the Javonte Green family. What a beautiful family. My God, yeah, I was just so happy that, you know, Javonte chose, because like he's the kind of guy we were missing, a rebounder, you know?
That's a scrapper.
Yeah, exactly.
You can never have too many guys that can play multiple positions, too.
Yeah, exactly. And just such a good defensive presence. So like, and I just like the way he plays the game. That's what I told her. I was just like, I think it was his sister, but because he had a whole family there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, just like, thank you for, you know, and she, and like Eli alluded to, they were just so kind hearted, you know, and they loved us just because we were rooting for him, you know, because I just said, you know.
Yeah, because like there's not a lot of casuals come to the game and are like cheering this guy that they just picked up off off the buyout market, right?
Yeah, they loved us. We loved them. Shout out to Javonte Green and his family. Lovely people. They're credit to them and credit to the city.
Awesome. That's a great story to hear. Thank you guys. I appreciate the sticking around for some bonus CTB Cavs of podcast coverage. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.